وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sheikh Kazim Ali.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani layno rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. I welcome you all to IRIB English Radio, and you're listening to the program For Humanity, and our topic is human rights. So far we've discussed some fundamentals about the human rights. We mentioned that this is an abstract term. We mentioned that this is for anyone who qualifies as a human being, and it has a minimum and a maximum approach, and the human rights are derived from natural rights, and natural rights are derived from natural laws. And here we discussed the point of view of Hobbes, where he says that the only way for the natural law to prevail or to exist is for men to submit to the command of the sovereign, where he's referring to a supreme authority. Now, we can relate this supreme authority to being a ruler of the state, or we can say that he's referring to the God himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say that what Hobbes is referring to is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed in Islam and in Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyul ladzina amanu. And he also says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَهُمُ التَّاغُوتِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whether you are a believer or you are a non-believer, in all cases, there is a wali for everyone. So Islam is promoting that natural law and the fundamental law which Hobbes is referring to. Let's look at the point of view of Hugo. He says that the natural law is so inherent that even if we presume the impossible, that there is no God, it won't change. Meaning that we will still need a wali for the natural law to function. If you look at the points here, a couple of very important points in what Hobbes has mentioned and what Hugo has mentioned is that both of them are presuming the existence of God. Hugo clearly says that even if we presume the impossible, that there is no God, that means it's literally impossible to think that there is no God. Therefore, both of them, when they are referring to the natural law and referring to the sovereign, both of them are referring to God, and says that we need to have this understanding that there exists God, and He's the one to establish the natural law. And as long as men submit to the natural law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the system will prevail, the system will function, and the system will function successfully. Now, let's look at another scholar, one of the philosophers from the Western world. His name is John Locke. He says that if the ruler went against the natural law and failed to protect life, liberty, and property, people could justifiably overthrow the existing state and create a new one. Now pay attention that how he subtly added the political aspect to the natural law. While the earlier scholars were referring to God as the sovereign authority, he's brought down that sovereign authority to being a ruler, and says that if there is a ruler and it's a tyrant ruler and he is not upholding the natural law of life, liberty, and property, then people, as the part of natural law, have the right to protect their natural law and overthrow the ruler.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
So now, with this point of view from John Locke, you would see that protecting the basic rights of people lies in the hands of government and the ruler. And now this is where the whole concept of human rights started getting politicized. This is where the politics started entering into the human rights aspect. Now, look at the US Declaration of Independence, which refers to human rights. Why are we looking at these things? Because we need to understand that when we talk about human rights, the current contemporary understanding is that human rights conflict with the laws of Islam, conflict with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conflicts with the ideology of Islam, whereas this is not true. The fundamentals that were established as part of human rights right from the 17th century or even earlier than that, they all reverted back to the sovereign authority that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or God according to Christianity and Judaism. So look at the United States Declaration of Independence, which was written in 1776. This is what they say. They say, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Pay attention to the word created. "That all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness." Now, look at a couple of important elements here. This is where they are pointing out that self-evident, meaning that we don't need to bring in any proof. We don't need to bring in any dalil. We don't need to bring in any evidence to prove these points. What? All men are created equal. That means they believe that there is a creator. They believe that this creator gave human beings certain unalienable rights. And one of them being that right to life, right to liberty, and right for pursuit of happiness. Now, this created equal is something where Islam also has emphasized multiple times. Being equal or being created equal, meaning that from the aspect of human being, we are all created equal. There's no difference between a man and a woman from the point of view of being human. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Holy Quran and in Islam, you find that human beings have been blessed with the karamat of attaining kamal, attaining perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, both of you are equal. Both of you have equal opportunities to attain kamal. Both of you can attain that highest level of proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So equality in creation is what Islam believes in. Islam says men and women have been created equally and there's no difference in them. But there is a point, there is a place where Islam believes in a difference among the creation. And where is that? Where Islam says that the dearest and the closest among you all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the highest level of piety, who follows the maximum level of taqwa. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out that, look, as human being, you're all equal to me. Islam is saying that as human being, you're all equal to me. I don't see color, I don't see gender, I don't see age, I don't see riches, I don't see money, I don't see intelligence. All I see is your piety and your obedience towards me. And that is what will bring the difference among you all, and elevate one and reduce the other. Bring one closer to me and the other away from me. Inshallah, we will continue in the next episode. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytihi tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, we hope you enjoyed the program For Humanity. If you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
O mountains of Mecca, you were there when the Prophet Muhammad climbed down in despair. Engraved in his heart were the words of his Lord. To all of mankind, this was his call. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. O people, praise only Allah, glorify Allah. To the oneness of Allah do I testify. For all that He's given me, how can I deny? My purpose in life should be only to cry. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah. Muhammad is his messenger.